I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, Puckleonians, and welcome to Puckle TCG Cast. This is episode 7-2, and it's none other than the final way, the time you've been waiting for, the reset review for Unified Minds. It's going to be a fun discussion all about these wonderful new cards that are on our table while we decide whether or not we should buy them or just skip them. With me today to discuss this set review is none other than two of my favorite folks. We got, some say that he counted to infinity twice. It's Sublime Manic.
Hello, 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 hello. How are
hello.
You?
Hello, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm so exhausted. I bought a house, or I'm in the process of that. We're buying a house, and I just spent the last week flying to Portland for an inspection and all this
other
stuff.
We're going to be neighbors.
We're going to be neighbors. I'm so excited.
I am. But you're not the only one here. I'm super excited for my next host because it's either it's the first time we have him on the TCG cast or we haven't had him in a long, long time to the point where I don't remember. And that is, some say, he's the only man who can kill your imaginary friends. It's Dr. Shamu.
Hello. This is the second time, I think. The other time was a set review for, I think, Dragon of the Majesty.
Yeah, I think you've been on it before.
I've been on once at least. I know that. I think it was Dragon's Majesty set review is what I did last. It's been a while,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I forget the last episode I recorded.
It's been, I think, over a year. So, mm-hmm. I think it was, like, shortly after last PuckleCon.
Oh, so we don't want to talk about that set. That was, anyway.
We got Quagsire.
Yeah. Well, Quagsire's good.
Yeah, and Fiery Flynn. We got two good cards.
And that was that. Yep, those are your two.
Yeah.
You got two.
Yep, even Kindra. We thought maybe Kindra would do something, but no.
Kindra's fun, it's just not meta enough. It's just not fast enough. It's fun, but that's about it.
So what have you guys been up to? I know we've been having a long discussion about the Fire Emblem game.
Three houses! Yeah. I was at my house while I was trying to get the three houses. So it's just houses on top of houses, you know? Three houses. Black Eagles!
Black Eagles.
There you go.
That's what's up.
What about Shamui? Who do you want to root for?
Huh?
Who's the one that you root for?
Oh, Black Eagles.
Black Eagles
naturally.
Too?
Yeah.
When I get that game next week, I'm going to have to check on the Black Eagles then. See how it's going out. But of course, that's Fire Emblem, and we're not here in this show to talk about Fire Emblem. We're here to talk about the Pokemon TCG, and we have a lot to talk about. Unifying Minds will be released, or has been released, and we're here to sit down finally with two of my favorite folks to discuss and talk about the cards that were released, whether or not they're worth it, whether or not we find them fun, or whether or not we just should skip them and go to the next one. So with that, let's go ahead and just jump on right in. This is Topical Beach.
Also, this set is huge.
It is.
It needs, too big.
Yeah, way too big. And I noticed that this might be the new pattern for Pokemon.
It's hard. Ugh, just the struggle.
But yeah, it just makes sets so much harder to get what you want. It just in it
it's makes harder you for collectors. It's yep. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It makes you want to buy singles even more when they do them this big because the chances of you just getting what you need is so it's so much diluted that it's just not yeah. even worth it to buy a booster. Mm-hmm. I don't buy Lost Thunder boosters for exactly the same reason. It's just too many cards. The set is a good set, but because there's so many cards, it's just you. It's so hard to get what you need.
Well, at least with Lost Thunder now, you've got Custom Catcher, which is actually, like, a valuable card, which is kind of easy to get, so boosters aren't as bad. It's still not great, obviously, but, like, yeah. there's a solid chance.
A non-rare card that is valuable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're going to want four of them, like, and then if you do get a Zera Aura, you just made, like, $25 to $35. Like,
yeah.
Because they're all up there now. Which, I think, after that, it's just, like, some other secret rares, and really... the worst wild card to get in that set is Zera Aura and like a Custom Catcher. And then some generic yep. Prism Stars, and like if you haven't bought anything from that set, it's just like the one ofs and stuff.
It's so great that you only need one of each Prism Star.
It is, and they're really cheap either
also,
way.
Also, we're out of... And they're cheap. They stopped yep. making them now, right? Like, we are officially done with Prism Stars.
Well, at least there was none in this set, as far as I can
I think tell. They're done.
I think they're okay. done. Because they did a year of Prism... You know how they have like a theme each year, right? For a mechanic. Yep. So last year's was Prism Star, and this year seems to be the tag teams. So
yeah, and I think
we'll I just see what never put them quarters. In. I never placed them in the same category since you know Prism Star can affect trainer cards and stuff, and
yeah,
and tag
yeah.
teams are exclusively Pokemon.
But it's like the always, thing they're yeah. doing for the year, you know. So
yeah, I don't
it's
see
like
it
how
like
we had
like,
break the break mechanic was only for four. Well, that was.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say though. Like, you could tell that break mechanics and GX Pokemon weren't supposed to overlap though that much.
But because it was the new year, new thing, right? So then we had yeah. Sun and Moon. It was GX, then Prism Star, now Tag Team GX.
Well, the question then lies: what's the next thing, right? We do have Dynamax Pokemon going.
You have to realize we have one Tag Team supporter revealed. They might just go with that for the rest of the tag team stuff. No more tag team yeah. Pokemon. You just get the supporters. That's all you get.
Yeah, it could be. It could very well. In that case, let's just go ahead and jump into Unified Minds. This deck has a lot of Psychic. It has a lot of Water.
It's just got a lot of cards. Cards. Just got
a lot of cards. But the types were designated. Let's go just jump right in. And I chose as my first card a very fun one. Not only because of the what the card does itself, but also how
it's
it looks,
adorable.
The card is adorable.
Oh, I love it.
So, so adorable. And that is none other than, of course, Psyduck and Slowpoke GX. Psyduck and Slowpoke GX is a water Pokemon basic tag team with an HP of 250, which is low.
It's not that low.
Like, it's not that
you
low.
Know,
yeah.
It's on the lower end, but it's not that low.
Exactly. Yeah. It has 10 more HP than Pika Chrom, so you really can't
exactly.
Complain. So it does have just two attacks, though. But oh, what two attacks? First attack for double water, it says Tossing Splash. It does 40 damage times discarded any number of supporter cards from your hand. This attack does 40 damage for each card discarded this way. Already you can tell that this is going to provide a super fun deck. Combine this with Lieutenant Search. And all hell breaks loose. It just seems like a really, really fun deck to do. It's GX attack for double water plus. It says Excitement Time GX. It does 10 damage plus. Flip a coin. If hits, this attack does 100 more damage. If you have at least 6 extra energies attached, which will bring the attack to a whooping 8 energy total, to this Pokemon, in addition to its attack's cost, flip 10 coins instead and do 100 damage for each of those hits. Victini in the bench should be interesting. Water, weakness to grass, resistance to none, retreat cost of 2. I find this card is going to be a lot of fun. I want to hear you guys' opinion on that. Sublime, let's start with you.
So normally I'm down on things that are fun but not good. I'm like, but it's not good.
Yeah.
I think this is really fun. And I actually think it's okay. Because there's some other cards that you can pair with it to make a not super consistent deck, but more consistent than you'd probably expect it to be. Because you have, yes, the Lapras in this set as well. Mm-hmm. Which lets you pull out Misty's Request from your discard pile.
I think the translation.
Misty's Favor?
Yeah, Favor. Misty's, I think, the translation. Favor.
Okay. But, yeah, we have to talk about that card if we're going to talk about this card. Let me pull it up.
Search
your deck for up to 3 supporter cards.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you do is you have Perfect World, right? 4 Lapras on the bench with a Psyduck and Slowpoke as you're active. You use 1 Misty's Request to search out 3 other supporters. And if you can get all 4 Misty's Requests, your Lapras will pull them all back out every turn. So that's, what, 160 damage automatically every turn?
Wait, did mm-hmm. Lapras take it from the discard?
Yes.
Oh, that's better. I didn't realize it took from the discard. I thought it was only from the deck.
Yeah, that's the only reason this deck is viable in my mind.
Well, that is the reason why it's viable.
Yeah.
Oh, you search it for your...
Exactly. Oh. And then after you've gotten all 4 going on, you can use 1 per turn to pull out 3 additional supporters
and then
on
you're
top
starting
of your 4.
Then you're starting to stack.
And then you're starting to hit for numbers. Yeah. Plus, if I had to ask you, what is the strongest deck in format right now, what would you say?
It's not a fire type. So, it's not a fire type whatsoever. No.
Yeah, it's not. It's not
fire's garbage.
No, but that is like so prominent. It's yeah, such it a is. Prominent no, thing. I think it still has the power right now.
It does,
and this has the advantage on that, which is really good.
Yep, and have. Also the advantage we cannot forget Blacephalon, which is also a strong
exactly
fire deck
exactly
that is still going on.
So I would say that this is actually more viable than it should be. And I like it because it's a lot of fun.
Honestly,
super cute.
Yeah, I agree.
What about you, Shimu?
I honestly hated this card, but I didn't realize Lapras took it from the discard. Because the thing with Misty's Request you could do too with Fun Shenanigans is if you do play Surge. Because it actually would combo in with Surge, if you think about it. Yeah, it would.
It would. I love Surge.
You Surge into Misty's Favor, and you add a Lance. And then you can use Lance to get back those Dragonite that allow you to search for any supporter card.
Yeah.
And so then you can be searching for a supporter card you need for the turn, as well as, like, a Misty's Favor, if you need to, from your deck. And then when you use them, you can just kind of keep recycling it with the Lapras.
Yep.
So, like, obviously it's going a bit more, like, you're running some bricks in there by doing that, but this card's discard stuff, and... Like, but that would honestly be optimal, being able to get one of those Dragonites on the bench that can just search
you
for
need
supporters.
A ton of supporters in the deck, though, and I think it's clunky,
it,
but
yeah.
it's still really fun.
Yeah.
And it, better it than it should be.
Like I said, we do have other, like, the supporter card from Lieutenant Surge. I forgot that it's Lieutenant Surge something, which allows you to play up to 2 additional supporter cards on that turn. Mm-hmm. So having multiple supporter cards on your deck is not necessarily a bad thing, since now there are ways of you having actually using multiple of the supporters, either as Father for Slowpoke and Psyduck to attack, or just using the Lieutenant Surge, or just ways of just acquiring everything that you need. So overall, what you guys said is exactly why I brought this card. It's just... It is a card, when you look at it, you think, oh, gimmick. But when you look at the current help that it does and the support that it encounters, it's like, oh, wait, this is actually a good gimmick.
It's not a winning gimmick, but it's a good
gimmick. It kind of reminds me of like what Audna was in the past. Like, it's not the good best card, but it's really good for the current meta.
And if you're not prepared against it, you might encounter this being the winner of the 2000. I'm not saying that this particular
It won't win unless
it's too
because people don't
and
prepare
funky.
And don't look at cards like this. These are the circumstances that leads us to having a very obscured gimmick deck as world winner, because people just see it and don't pay any attention in front, and then they're not prepared for it. So, Psyduck, for me, I really enjoy. I'm definitely going to make a deck with this card just to see how much fun it is.
You have to. It's Psyduck and Slowpoke. How could you
So
not?
Because it's me, I'm going to give it a super effective. What
it's
about
not.
You, Sublime?
Stop. I'm giving it effective, and that's me being nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go with effective because it can do a thing.
It can.
There we go.
It's not a garbage card, and most cards are garbage, so automatically, you're better than most cards.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's our first card, Slowpoke and Psyduck and Slowpoke GX. It gets a super effective from me and 2 effectives from Shamu and Sublime. So many S's today, too. I'm going to start confusing Zarya ahead of time if I call you Sigma.
And then there was the time you called Sigma me. That was what was even funnier. And then I was on and you called me Sigma. Anyway, we left.
So moving on to the next one. Sublime, do you have a top card?
Yes, my girl Tina got a card. Tina. If anyone doesn't know, I'm a big fan of a certain legendary that will haunt you, whose name is Giratina.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Darkrai.
Tina. No.
No.
Talking about Tina. My Giratina, who I call Tina. Garchomp and Giratina GX. It's a dragon type, which, you know, usually not that good. But
It gets support.
If you get psychic on your coverage as your options, you usually can make it work these days.
And you have a card that searches for dragon or psychics.
Oh, yep. So we're doing real good. This is your new Malamar partner. Okay. 270 attack, which is pretty good. Two attacks. They work well together, but there's other things you can do, which I want to talk about. First one is linear attack, which is a colorless energy. So it don't matter what deck you run, and you could do that attack your first turn. This attack does 40 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon, so you can hit the bench. And then you have Calamity Edge, which is a psychic of fighting in a colorless, and does 160 damage plus if your opponent's active Pokemon already has any damage counters on it. This attack does 80 more damage. So let's assume it has just one. You're doing 240 in addition to the 10 already on them, right? So that's hitting for 250.
That's already knocking out Slowpoke and Psyduck GX.
And a lot of GXs. And then it's GX attack is called GG and GX. Discard one of your opponent's Pokemon and all cards attached to them. If this Pokemon has at least 3 extra fighting energy attached to it, you discard 2. And all cards attached to them. I don't care for the GX attack. Anyway. Yeah. Weakness to Fairy, Resistance, none, Retreat 3. It's mostly that I don't like having to have all that fighting energy on it.
Yeah, it's not a really easy way to accelerate.
I want to pair this with Malamar.
Actually, exactly. No, there is an easy way that we don't have it yet, but there will be.
What I'm really excited about this card with is Tina with Tina. Because we have another Giratina card in the format.
Yes.
That throws damage counters on your opponent's Pokemon from the discard pile onto your bench.
I was just thinking the same thing. Yep. There's already a Tina in the game.
It's the Tina Apocalypse, you guys. I'm so excited.
You can literally use, I would say Ultra Ball, but, you know, it's going away. But we do have...
Mysterious Treasure?
We do have Mysterious Treasure. That's
Hapu true. Is also in the set.
You can go ahead, use Mysterious Treasure, discard the baby Giratina that we already have, that one that
and comes pull from out your Garchomp and Giratina.
Yep, and then use the Mysterious Treasure to pull out that Garchomp, and your Garchomp will be down in, if you set it up with the energy it needs, already potentially hitting for 250 damage, or 240. So,
on top of damage they have on them already, so, like, you're winning. I like it.
Yeah, it is a strong one. What about you, Shimu?
It's good. This is one of the cards I'm actually excited for to play around with. Like, there's a fun little gimmick you can do with it, too. Like, not that saying Grimbly's a good card. It's not. But, like, you could use that to do some shenanigans with this.
You sure could.
Because it moves 3, I believe. So you essentially move 3 to it, do the Calamity Edge, and that knocks out Reshazard.
That
hits Reshazard.
Or you can there's a lot of things you can do with this to get the counters.
It's a cute deck. Because you can do spread stuff too with trying to punishment though. You wouldn't want to run it because you have a GX, but it could still work.
I think it works well for you. It benefits you more than your opponent.
Yeah.
So probably.
But I like it. I definitely like it. What do you give it, Sublime?
Super effective.
Super effective, Shimu?
Same, super effective. This is a good card. It's already seen play in Japan, I believe, too. Like,
exactly.
Well.
Super effective for me, too. This is definitely a strong, powerful card, guys. And we will see decks around this card for sure. So get yourself a playset of Garchomp and Giratina as soon as you can. Moving on to the next one. Shimu, what's your first top card?
I was going to talk about the other archetype, but I think we should talk about the other dragon in the set that, or one of the two dragons I'm excited for, Haxorus.
Yes.
So, it's a stage 2 with 150 HP. It's got its ability is Grinder Up. Once during your turn, you may discard a stadium card in play. If you do, attach up to three any combination of fire or metal energy cards, or metal and fire energy cards from your hand to this Pokemon. And for one fire, one metal, it does powerful axe, which is 10 plus damage. It does 40 more damage for each basic energy attached to this Pokemon. It's a weakness to fairy, no resistance, retreat 3. So, one thing too, you can get rid of Prism Star Stadiums with this. So you can use your opponent's stadiums to abuse this. Mm-hmm. And, there is a card coming out in, I think they're Cosmic Eclipse. It's in Dream League for Japan. Ends Resolve. And just as a brief overview, we won't have this for a while, because this also does support Garchomp Giratina. But what you do is you discard the top 6 cards of your deck, and any basic energy, you attach it to a bench dragon. So we'll say, let's just say, we'll go in like an optimal thing here. You have your you have your Haxorus. You attach one energy. Then you do Grinder up for the 3 from your hand. Because you also have Fiery Flint, you have Fire Crystal, you have Fire Support, so you can be searching your Fire stuff.
Welder, too.
More
on it.
You've got Mount Coronet, you've got the oven, the big oven that came out in the set, too. So you have stadiums that can recycle your energy for both fire and metal, and then just discard them so your opponent can't use them if they're playing the same deck or whatnot. But, like, we'll just say you attach one, you do a manual, you do a grinder up, so you got 4 energy. And then you play End Resolve, and you mill, like, 3 basic energy. Then you attach it to that Haxorus. That Haxorus will hit for 270.
Yeah.
And even then, like, worst case...
For one prize.
And worst case...
it's not a GX.
It does, like, what? I think 170 with a manual and hitting the 3.
And it has one... We must not lose focus of the 150 HP for Stage 2, which is pretty high. It puts you over the edge of many of the Pokemon that are designed to 2-hit KOs. GX, it was still 2-hit KOs because many just hit for 120, 130. And, you know, Choice Ban or other things like that won't really help you in this case, since this Haxorus is just a measly baby Haxorus.
It is nice, but at the same time, there are, like, Pikarom and Blacephalon will hit you and kill you for either... essentially...
Instant. Yeah.
Blacephalon discards 3...
Those decks are so fast.
Yeah, that's the only issue against it. But there is also... You do have some random dragon support. Like, you have Lance. So you could literally be using a Lance with this and being a recurring from the discard. So it's like, is it the best card? No, but I think it's solid for what it is. And I'm excited
to
play with
you,
this.
What about you, Sublime? What do you think?
I love something that has an infinite damage option. I don't think this is going to be good.
Okay.
Yeah, I think... the amount of energy trying to get it there in one turn is a lot to ask, and it's going to get killed by all our tag teams, like, in one shot, pretty much.
Fair enough.
So I think it's too slow to get where it wants to be.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I just like this card. I've been excited for this for a while.
So. Yeah, it does have a lot of potential. I've learned not to underestimate Stage 2's non-GX Pokemon. Very candy can get you in there really quick, and there is multiple ways... that you can energy accelerate nowadays. However, we are in a very competitive field, and there are just many Pokemon that can really destroy this without even thinking twice. And the problem is not even necessarily that. My biggest problem with this card is the fact that it's Dragon. So it doesn't gain super effective on anything.
That doesn't seem that relevant
dragons.
To me if you're like getting the one shot.
Well, it is if you you require me to drop 8 you know, 5 energies versus just 2 or 1, what I would need if this would have been just a plain fire or a plain water or something that I could have one hit KO with a lot less energies. That is an advantage that shouldn't be overlooked. The fact that Dragon has advantage over nothing but Dragon and barely we're playing
Dragon
really
is always
even something
have
that
advantage
keeps it back.
On Dragon anymore, ever since they lost fairies.
Yeah, that's true, because, dragons are weak against fairy usually, so that's where I always land with dragon Pokemon. Not the case, of course, with the one that we just discovered with Tina.
I mean, think
and
about
Garchomp
it, Ultra Crossman makes it work too, right? So...
correct. Like... there's ways of doing it, I just believe that Haxorus doesn't have that way open to it. But it is still a really decent card, which I actually...
do enjoy, much like Dr. Shimu says. So, Shimu, what's your rating on this?
Effective. It's not great. It's not horrible. But it's not really... It's in the middle. Yeah.
What about you, Sublime?
It's not very effective for me. It's not going to see play, I don't think.
I'm going to go with effective because I do see... I do like its ability. Once during your turn, you may discard a stadium card. I am beginning to be a fan of the newest Marsh Shadow that was introduced. That has the ability that allows you to just discard at stadium. It really comes in handy when those Prism Star Stadiums comes
down. Yeah,
that
but that's also a basic that can go on any
day. No, true, but the fact that this has that as a, because you don't have to discard Hoxorus. It will continue on in your bench.
Yeah, but like the you other can one, throw that in any discard. Deck. You have to build around this.
True. I just mentioned it's like a nice addition to it, but the focus of it is really its attack. With that being said, that's it. That's I do give it an effective as well. So two effectives and one not very effective for Haxorus. So let's go back to me, actually. And I have another one that I want to discuss. And I'm going to go with a baby form, too. Let's jump around. I'm going to edit that thing out. So Gallizapod is an interesting one that is coming in this set. It is a water Gallizapod, which is always fun. HP of 140. Which is pretty high for a stage one, might not remind you guys. And it has one attack and one ability. Its ability, what you would expect from it, is emergency exit. If this Pokemon has two or less energies attached to it, it has no retreat cost. Then its other attack is first impression. It has one water and three colorless. It has 120 damage. If this Pokemon was on your bench and became your active Pokemon this turn, this attack does 60 more for a total of 180. Weakness to grass, resistance to none, retreat cost of 4. The reason I add this because I see a lot of good potential. First, I am channeling the spirit of Basket in this show and needing to mention Gallizapod.
Love you, Basket.
Love you.
Can't wait to be your neighbor too.
Yay! Yes, so close. First impressions is incredibly good. Doing 180. Now you might think, oh, 4 energies, 1 water, 3 colorless. That's a lot. Yeah, well, yes. However, we do have that triple energy acceleration. Which
that's the only reason it's viable because after you discard it, it goes back to having the free retreat.
Exactly. That's the reason why it's viable. But in doing 180 with absolutely no help other than the fact that it just comes in, it is great. Now, I do have to give out the or throw out there that we are approaching rotation, which means Guzma is no longer going to be a thing. And it should be something that should be noticed, but this little guy might not actually need that. So, I'm going to throw it out you guys and start with Shamu first. What do you think about good old Guzma
here? I love this, because even then, like, your basic strategy is to do triple acceleration and have it retreat itself. Yep. But even then, with those, you're going to want to run switches, just to have. And you can always even put in Quagsire, so for worst case, you can't get a triple acceleration. You can use the water energy, put it on it, and start switching it around. Guzma not having that sucks. Not having, like, escape ropes and such. But, like, you still have options with it via just water and, like, just the water toolbox kind of thing with it. And and with the retreat of 4, you can search it out with Pokemaniac. I think Pokemaniac searches for like 2. I'll check that.
Also, don't grass types have? No, this is a water type. Never.
It's 3. It's 3. So sorry, Sublime. What were you saying?
I was thinking. Oh, but plus grass type has pretty good searching. But then I realized it was a water type.
It is. It is worth noting though, and this is not much to say. I mean, but I would like to say that the Wimpod, it comes in, it has a high HP, which I was surprised, with a 70, which it's not entirely a good thing because it does want it's 10 HP away from being searched for a Professor Elm.
Yeah, that would make it for real example. Good.
Yeah, but its attack, Sand Attack, for 1 water only, does 10 damage, and if the defending Pokemon tries to attack on your opponent next turn, your opponent flips a coin.
Okay,
It does nothing. It's kind of like the Whimsicott, a GX. So it does, and of course, we're not talking about doing this, like, 10 turns into the game.
But, like, it can maybe buy you a turn, sure.
Yeah, it's what it's meant to
but
do.
But if you're starting with it, in your second turn, and you're able to, it could actually provide you one extra turn where you can put that Gallizapod down after that one turn that you sand attacked him. So, for turn 1 or turn 2 attacks, this is definitely a good Wimpod to start with.
Yeah. Okay, so Sublime, what about you? What do you think about the Glitzpot?
180 on turn two seems viable and good. I just don't know if this will have the staying power because you're very reliant on triple energy acceleration.
The stamina.
And you only get so many of those, right? So after that, it stops being good real fast.
You'd have to rely on the switch quacks.
So it's just a question, is this enough? Early on, to push you ahead, and I can't tell if it is or not.
I think it is with Galissapot. I'm sorry, with Quagsire, like Shimu.
I think Quagsire is about to be a lot less good though. After rotation, so
you were losing Aqua. Are we losing Aqua?
We're losing a lot of things that made it easy to search for it. I just don't see this being like in a deck that's fast or consistent. Yeah.
We do.
In spite of its attack being so fast and consistent, the deck itself, I don't think, will be very fast or consistent.
That's understandable. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give it a... I'm going to go with a solid, effective. I see this being one of those tricky main attackers or secondary attackers that people really underestimate. And I think this Galissapot is going to be... Water has had the support for a long while. Granted, we're going to lose some of that support post-rotation, but I do believe that maybe we still have enough to make this a successful, at least secondary attacker, if not a main attacker in one or two decks. So, effective for me. What about you, Shimu?
I'm going to say effective, because as you're saying, like, secondary attacker, I even thought it might be fun to play this with Nidoqueen.
Yeah.
Like, have a weird, like, just a water attacker just to do something there. Like, it almost kills, without the extra damage, it almost kills a... Reshazard. So, yep. it's a fun card.
It definitely is. What about you, Sublime?
I guess I'll give it an effective. For me, it's between not very effective and effective. Like, it's in between them.
Okay, there you go. So we got three effective for Galissapod, being one of the water Pokemon that we really might see a little bit more coming out in the future games. Now, moving on to the next one, Sublime. What's your next Pokemon or trainer card?
What is my next one? Let me see. Actually, yeah, let's do a trainer card. I want to talk about Hapu.
Hapu.
Hapu is a supporter card that says, look at the top six cards of your deck and put two of them into your hand. Discard the rest.
That's
really deep digging for specific key pieces you need. That is thinning out your deck, which is so strong for a lot of decks right now. There's a lot of decks that can use the discard pile as a resource. This helps them simultaneously get pieces they want, going through a lot of cards to get what you want, and putting other things in your discard pile that you might want there on top. I think, especially because we're like losing so many good cards for searching in the rotation, I think this helps. And I think it's going to see play for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. Anything that allows me to grab whatever I want from my deck or putting in my deck or in my discard whatever I want is always going to be really good. Watch out that you don't empty your deck doing that, of course. But do not underestimate the power of you. I've always found it funny that a great ball has been around for a while and people really ignore it because of the existence of Ultra Ball.
As they should.
However, when you come down to the pipe, searching your next 6 to 7 cards for something that you need turns out to be a really powerful way of doing it. It's just that we've had so many direct searches in the past, such as computer search and Ultra Balls and those type. It wasn't something until something dropped like Max Elixir, for example, that we started to see, hey, you searching your next 7 cards for something that could be useful actually is very good. I think Hapu is going to tap into that, and it's definitely going to be at the very least, a one-off in some decks.
I think it's going to be like a main searching card for a lot of decks, actually. More than one, like two to three.
I would say two at like max for a lot of, like most just generic decks.
I'd say at least two. You don't want just one.
Yeah, you don't want one, but you don't want like four. Like I would say most like mainstream decks might run two.
Two to three.
Just to like have
depending
something.
Depending on how much you get out of it, right? Like, I think the Dark Toolbox really benefits from it. It helps. I think the Giratina we discussed earlier really benefits from it. So there's some decks that want to run more than others. If you're running it, you probably run more than one.
Yeah, I don't see you running into a single copy of this. There will be some decks that come out probably later on that will love this card even more.
Yep.
Well, even the gimmicky ones that we have now, I'm sure that Exeggutor, the one that requires you to have multiple energy cards in your discard pile to deal damage, I'm sure it will love Hapu.
I mean, think about it. Think about the Night March era. What was the most prominent card in every deck?
Ooh, Battle Compressor.
Exactly.
Yeah. The biggest thing with Battle Compressor is you got to choose, though. That's the thing. You, like,
you did. This, well, yeah. You get to choose, like, which you do get to choose also, though. Like, you get, you're looking at six.
It's more or less
you're kind of choosing the four you want.
You're choosing from a limited source.
Yeah.
It is still a choice, though.
Oh, you get a choice, yes.
Acrobike is an extremely good card. And that's only two, right?
Yeah, so. Because it comes down to, like, oh, I can afford to discard one compared to, oh, I have to keep two of these and the rest of these go away. And in certain decks that can't retrieve those, that's an issue.
Yeah, it depends on the deck you're
running. And it does depend. Sure. Like, some decks will just run it because, like, it's a risky power card. Like, hey, I could play this and, like, I could get the luck of the draw.
Acceleration, consistency. Yeah.
Like, I can get that Pokemon I need to evolve, or that other, like, I can get that other trainer I needed, like, that switch, I can get that energy, like, because it's any two cards, so that's the best part of it. It's just...
Extremely.
It still is a risky card, because, like, what if, like, oh, I need a trainer, and I get all of my supporters? Or, like, I need, I'm, like, really bad with energy, and you get six energy. You at least get those two, but there's four energy now in your discard that if you don't have a deck that can retrieve
if
those...
If you have the top six as energy you need an energy, I feel like a lot of this is the deck you're building.
It's one of those things, too. You can get those bad hands,
if you have a bad
though,
deck list, sure. But, like, statistically...
I'm not... I know. Not be, this is the very, like, 1% chance. It's not... Probably less than that, but it's just that aspect of you could literally just get a crap selection... And
that can happen whether you run this or not, though.
It does. Also. It does. It just depends if you want to risk having cards you might need later in your discard. Like, certain decks will run it, certain decks won't. It's still not a bad card. It's just the choice.
Yeah. So, what we're going to have to give it? Sublime?
I'm going to give it a super effective. This card is going to safe play.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a super effective as well. What about you, Shamu?
But it's a good card. It's still super effective. It's just, there are risks. I'm just trying to cover the risks first for
reward. It's not for everything, but this is a super effective card.
There you go. You got Hapu, the first supporter we review here, and it is being given a super effective across the board. So go ahead, guys, and get yourself a set of these, actually. So, Shamu, what's your next card?
Let's talk about a little tech here. Jirachi GX. It's a psychic with 160 HP. We'll save the ability for last. It's for one psychic energy, you do Star Search. Search your deck for an energy card and attach it to one of your psychic Pokemon, then shuffle your deck. Not great, but it's there at least.
It's something.
Yeah. Your GX attack, Star Shield GX. It's three psychic energy, it does 100 damage. Prevent all effects of attacks, including damage done to this Pokemon during your opponent's next turn. Its weakness is psychic, its retreat is 1. You probably wouldn't use that GX attack unless you're running in a psychic deck, or if we still get some weird deck at the rainbow deck or something, that could just use rainbow energy, like, no business. But the reason you run this is for its ability, which is Psychic Zone. If a Pokemon with a psychic weakness receives damage from an attack, don't apply weakness. So... this is nice for psychic decks in a way, but I don't think it really shines in psychic decks. It more or less shines in a fighting deck that actually has a psychic weakness. Yes. Because the thing is, it doesn't say psychic Pokemon's weakness, it says a Pokemon with a psychic weakness. Yep. So you have, somehow you get a dragon that's got a psychic weakness. Wouldn't happen, but you don't get weak. Essentially, it nullifies any psychic weakness, which is honestly fantastic. And even itself. Yeah. So you can't just one-shot it with a, like, unless Nagant and Delta got its, a three prize card thing, it's not going to get knocked out.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a solid card. Is it going to see, like, a lot of play? I don't think it'll see a huge amount other than in, like, the Mewtwo decks.
Yeah.
Because even then, it also applies to the opponent. So I don't know if they want to be doing that. It's a very, like, I don't want to say it's a coin flip Kind of reminds me of, like,
it's Aegislash. Also a GX a Pokemon with only 160 HP.
It is. It's not meant to be, like, on your main line. It's meant to be, like, on your bench as a... Because that's a strong ability, you gotta say, like...
It is. It's, yeah, but, like, it's also a liability.
Oh, it is a liability. Yeah, you're taking a risk with it.
Yeah.
At least it doesn't have a weakness unless they, ability cancel.
Although, you don't need a weakness to hit 160 either.
Oh, no, you don't. No. No, definitely not in this format. It's just the fact that if something's relying on that weakness to get the kill, it won't.
Yeah, it would make it a little bit difficult. If your idea is playing Jirachi GX on a mirror, on your psychic deck in case you encounter a mirror match,
you're helping both people. So
exactly, you're helping. The only difference is
you're helping both people and you're giving them a 162 prize card.
Yeah, and Acerola is getting rotated out, so getting those Pokemon back into your hand not as easy. As it might seem, also including because of the addition of Mr. Mime, which basically doesn't allow you to bring anything back into your hand if your opponent plays Mr. Mime. Block. So,
yeah.
So whether or not you play Jirachi is really, really weird. But like Shamu said, it might actually shine a lot if you put it on those fighting decks that do have a majority. I mean, if Buzzwole was going to remain after rotation, Buzzwole will be loving Jirachi GX. Because it will basically make him, like, super powerful. Not having that psychic.
It really depends if we get, like, another fighting deck like that sometime soon.
If I told you there was a card in this set that could get rid of your weakness for your Pokemon, and not just for psychic Pokemon?
Ooh, do tell.
Oh, yeah.
Weakness guard energy. Yep. I don't think this is good, because, like, why wouldn't you just run weakness guard energy?
That's fair, too, though.
Yeah. Okay, so...
If you want to have that special energy attached, though, that's the thing. Because there are...
Yeah.
We have any special energy walls right now? I don't think we have any now, but...
There might be some things to get rid of it, but, like, most decks don't run hardly any special energy except for, like, the Whimsicott GX, which is a gimmick deck.
It's...
Also depends on whether or not Honchkrow GX picks up.
Here's the thing. If special energy picks up, Honchkrow will pick up.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
It's one of those things. You're running one liability over another. Though I think the weakness card's a much safer option.
It doesn't cost you two prize cards. It doesn't cost you two prize cards.
Yeah, but you also got the only common gusting we have, though, now is Custom Catcher.
Which is very prominent.
It's very prominent now, so. But they only get, what, two uses of it? Which is probably all you need, but nonetheless.
I'd rather have a discard energy that can be discarded than a two prize GX 160 HP.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I agree with that. It's just options. You also could search this out.
Decisions.
That's the one thing, thinking about it.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and rate this one. What do you rate it, Shimu?
I'm going to say effective. It's, again, it has weaknesses itself, not via type, really, but, like, you know, it's got its own issues. But I think it'll
still as an attacker, you don't want to use it ever.
It's
warm your bench.
It's literally warming your bench, or if you start with it, you can at least attach an energy to something. And then retreat it.
You can accelerate, accelerate.
And it is searchable, too, though, if you run it in Psychic decks with Mysterious Treasure, at the very least.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, what about you, Sublime?
Not very effective. Go play regular Jirachi instead.
Yes. And I also play as not very effective. I mean, it could work in a fire deck?
Fighting.
Wow, fighting. Thank you. In a fighting deck. However, it's just, I think... If it were just a regular Jirachi, I would say yes, totally super effective. GX for just not giving.
It's understandable.
Weakness. It's just such a
especially because there's other ways to get its effect. In your deck. So,
yep, and because now with a Guzma out, without Acerola and other methods of you just getting rid of Pokemon that are easily targetable, it's just it is a giant gamble that you're playing it right now. So there you have it, guys. That's Jirachi GX. Now, which leads me to, I wanted to follow that up with Mewtwo and Mew GX, because we're talking about psychic Pokemon, but we're also going to talk about another one that is more Jirachi related, and that's U-Turn Boat, the trainer card. Now, this is an item card, a tool, says you can attach it to one of your Pokemon. And it says the retreat cost of this Pokemon, of the Pokemon this card is attached to, is one colorless. One colorless. You might actually, this might remind you of a different card. If this card will go to your discard pile from in play, put it back into your hand instead. This is basically a skateboard, but better.
But not better, also. Because doesn't a skateboard reduce it by two?
No, it's one.
No, it's just one. Okay. It's exactly. It's 100% better. Yeah, so
well,
the arrival of Jirachi was really worried. So, the arrival of Jirachi, right, was a big deal. Jirachi, the baby, of course, we're talking about the Jirachi that allows you to search the top six cards from your
I think it's
your,
top five.
Deck. Top five, was it?
It's top five, yeah.
Top five cards from your deck. Pick any trainer cards, put it into your hand. Fantastic card. We paired it up with a skateboard, which is basically the Pokemon that is attached to.
Well, you have to pair it with a skateboard. You couldn't pair it with this. That's important to note.
Yeah. Well, the biggest difference is that skateboard allows you to switch even though paralyzing or sleep is the thing, which is
and Jirachi's ability puts it to sleep after you use it. That's correct. The only reason Jirachi's like usable at all is because of the escape board.
Correct. However, it is still nice to have a tool that gives you the ability to like this. Zapdos would love this. Zapdos also requires. Oh, actually, Zapdos requires two colorless to right. Was it just one?
Even then, it still is fine for it because you just attach an energy. You're having one energy on it, like only that's all you're having on it. So worst case, you just attach an energy again, or if you've got even something.
True, prism. But if you don't have to discard it though, having free retreat costs is something that is incredible.
Oh, it's much better. It's just the fact that yeah. It's not like one is not going to kill it. Having one retreat cost is not going to kill it, like Zapdos.
Yeah.
Okay. Although Zapdos also is usually run with Zeraoric GX. So.
Yes.
So you get the free retreat for that. It's just those other options to get that retreat down. Which is always safe.
Sublime, what do you think?
I don't think this will be good until skateboard rotates.
Well, that will be soon.
But when that happens, is it?
No. It came out in like Ultra Prism or Forbidden Light. It's around for a while.
So I think this card will see play after it's going to be rotating out. Yeah, in a year.
Skateboard is rotating. No, it's rotating in this. Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
I don't think it is.
It should be at least Ultra Prism.
Skateboard came out in Ultra Prism.
That's not rotating.
Yeah. It's everything before Ultra Prism.
Yep.
I was lied to.
You were?
Or not lied to. I didn't read well. Because my understanding is that it was going to be rotated out.
Yeah.
And people were worried that Jirachi was not going to be as useful because the skateboard was rotating out.
As soon as
that
rotates, Jirachi's dead in the water. But this will be good when that leaves. And that's what I think.
I still think it's a good card, honestly.
Okay, there you go. That changed my perspective. For whatever reason, I was under the understanding that skateboard was going to be rotated out. If that's not the case, then this card is not as good as I thought it was going to be. So, not very effective for me for now.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it effective just because some decks don't need to have that status escaping. Yeah. And they would rather have this running, like, if they need that, like, one less retreat cost without, and they don't want Zeraora, this would be, like, instead of running four skateboard, they could just run two of these, because as long as they get it into play, it comes right back. And it gives them more deck space.
Yeah, it comes right back, yep.
So, like, I think it's still a card. Like, I'd probably run this over a skateboard if I needed this retreat cost over the status issue.
A lot of decks don't even have retreat costs at all, though, right? Like,
there's a lot of them are trying to avoid
it. For free.
Dark gets it for free, though, now, which is nice.
Lightning gets it for free.
It's for things like that. I don't know anything off the top of my head other than some random support cards that would probably, like, some techs that would use it. But even then, I still think it's, I don't think it's a bad card, but I don't think it's super good. So I'm just going to say effective. It's like middle of the water for me.
What about you, Sublime?
For me, it is not very effective, but could be reassessed in over a year when we have the rotation after this one.
There we go, guys. Well, same thing. Yeah, same thing with me. U-turn board. Wow, I couldn't really say that well. U-turn board.
Could it sounds really like you did a U-turn on U-turn board. Just
I did under the false premise that I thought a skateboard was not going to be a thing, which I just revealed that it was.
If that wasn't going to be a thing, Jirachi wouldn't be so damn expensive right now.
Yeah, that is the thing. So there you have it, guys. That's U-turn board. It's something that you might, for whatever reason, my brain reads U-turn board, but my mouth wants to say U-turn boat. Don't know why. With that being said, let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Take it away, Sublime.
All right, we need to talk. We need to talk as friends, you know, because I've said some things about friends on this podcast and fossils.
We have, yes.
And friends are not supposed to let friends play fossils, right?
Do tell.
But I'm going to add an addendum to that now. That's got like an additional thing. It says friends don't let friends play fossils without Pokemon Research Lab.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So let's talk about a stadium that's coming out in this set. Pokemon Research Lab says, once during each player's turn, that player may search their deck for up to two cards that evolve from unidentified fossil and play them onto their bench. Yeah. Then, that player shuffles their deck and their turn, this is important, their turn ends.
Yes.
This card stays in play when you play it. Discard this card if another stadium card comes into play. Yeah. So, I also want to talk about this with what I think is the best thing to pair it with, and frankly, I think the only fossil that we'll see consistent play. And that is Aerodactyl GX, because it is a stage one, so you can play it immediately with the stadium.
Yeah.
Has an ability, Prehistoric Wind, also it's a fighting type with 210 HP, so that's good. I guess. It's basically a basic for this, so it's like basically a 210 basic. Right, Prehistoric Wind. As long as this Pokemon is your active, the attacks of your opponent's basic Pokemon cost a colorless additional energy more.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's got my least favorite attack number at the moment, which is Rock Smash does 120 for a fighting and two colorless. And then its GX attack is Wild Dive GX, which does 50 damage times the amount of energy attached to your opponent's active Pokemon. And they're going to need a lot of energy because their attacks will be costing one more. Weak to grass.
Which is interesting.
Retreat cost of zero.
Which is very, very interesting.
Yeah, so let's talk about fossils for a bit. Pokemon Research Lab, I think, is the best way to play them in an extremely long time.
Yep.
It's not an auto... It doesn't automatically make fossils good, I have to say.
No. It will make one fossil Pokemon good.
Yeah, but the thing is, exactly. Oh my god, your turn ends immediately. Okay?
Hurts.
You can't start with the fossil, so you're going to need other Pokemon, right? There's a lot of rules if you want to make it work. But I do think that we are living in a time where you can play fossils.
Yes, you can. There are multiple...
there are a lot of fossils in rotation right now. I think the only one that this is going to see like success with is Aerodactyl GX, and maybe like a pair it with one other one.
You would pair it with the, fossils, you would do the baby Aerodactyl. Is way better.
Baby Aerodactyl is fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that one. You're
yes,
right.
the second attack, first attack is supersonic, forget about that, but the second attack for baby Aerodactyl, this is of course the one that came out in Team Up.
It's colorless,
it
right?
It is Fossil Fangs. It uses three energies, which is Solve Wire, Triple Acceleration energy. But it does 90, and if you don't have any Pokemon GX or EX in your bench, this attack does 90 more. So it's a baby Pokemon stage one fossil that does 180 per hit, which is pretty, pretty insane. Not to mention that the other fossils are nothing to scoff at either. I mean, Kabutop has the ability to fossilize.
Keep in mind, those are stage twos. Also,
yeah, they are. They are. As long as this is your active Pokemon, your opponent can't play any supporter cards from their hand. It's something that is pretty powerful as well. But I do agree that Aerodactyl is the likely contender. That this is definitely both the baby and the GX to some extent is going to are going to take some advantage of this for sure.
They're faster and. Pokemon Research Lab, although it gets your fossils out faster, it is slow and clunky, and if you do not pull a Pokemon Research Lab on turn one, you're screwed.
But we have a card to help that, though.
We sure do.
An exploration.
You're going to have to run a lot of them.
Yeah, you're pretty much probably running four Jirachi run and four of those.
I was going to say...
Four green explorations, four Jirachis, yeah.
There's one that, like, lets you flip coins to pull stages.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, that just came out. Yeah. It's like a... I don't know what it's called exactly. I can look into it.
It's like DexNav or PokéNav or something.
It's a nav. Yeah.
One of those.
Let's see what it's called real quick.
I think it lets you flip two coins and free chance you can search for
it. That's what it does. I'm just trying to find the name of it. Where is it?
Yeah.
It is Stadium Nav, yeah. Flip two coins for each head. Search your deck for a stadium. Reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle.
Yeah, so you need to put in as many cards that let you search for this stadium as possible, because if you do not play this your first turn, you're coming from behind. And you're already coming from behind if you're doing this. Yeah. I think it's effective. I don't think fossils are going to be top tier, but they're playable. They did become playable.
And remember, we did mention that being a stage 2 is an issue. However, let us remind ourselves that Frogadier is what made Greninja break or Greninja happen, and the fact that in turn one you can maybe have those Omanytes and Kabutops.
Well, also
you can evolve them to their stage 2.
Talonflame is not actually
pretty bad. It's not bad at all. It's actually pretty good. So, Pokemon Research Lab may breathe some life into those stage 2 fossils, which we already knew we had, because Armastar is also a fantastic, powerful Pokemon. Let me see if I can get it real quick.
Is it the one that doesn't let your opponent play items?
Yeah.
Yep.
They can't play items if they have more Pokemon than you.
Yeah, as long as you have fewer Pokemon in play than your opponent, they can't play any item cards. Kabutops can't play any supporter cards. And potentially with Professor Lab, you can gain both Kabuto and Omastar in turn two.
Well, you're ending your turn. It's going to be...
You can't attack on your first turn anyway.
It's essentially the first turn play, and after that, it's
complete. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want more fossils, I don't know how good it's going to be. I think they're playable. I don't think they're great. No. I think they're playable.
Do you start your game with fossils? Can you start it with the fossils?
No, you cannot.
That very well there is an advantage, because it means you can put Jirachis as your starter, which means that you can, with four Jirachis and nothing else, your basic starter could be Jirachi. That puts you there right there. You put a four set of green explorations, right? Jirachi.
No, you can't. I forgot.
So you can't start with Jirachi if you're going to play green exploration. But any other Pokemon, green exploration, grab the lab, grab a fossil if need be, put them down, put the lab down, search your deck for two of those, Kabuto and Armastar. You pass your first turn, second turn comes in, and you have already Kabutops, and you can search for an Armastar and Kabutops, and have already, your opponent can't play any supporter cards, your opponent can't play any item cards turn two.
It's you're also telegraphing to your opponent. There's a lot. I don't think it's going to be a top-tier deck. I think it's going to be playable.
Yes, I 100% agree with you there. Don't misunderstand me.
And it's a lot of work to do for that.
But this is reminding me when Talonflame brought life into Rampardos decks, and fossils were, for a moment, fun and actual legit to play. Not that you were going to win any big championship, but they were.
No, they were fun. That was all they were. This is the only time fossils have been legit to play, and I don't even know how long.
Well, let's go ahead and then give it the rating. Go ahead, Sublime.
It's effective.
Effective. So, Shamu?
I'm going to say effective, but one thing I want to mention is that the only good thing, honestly, about the Aerodactyl GX is that it kills Pikarom. Because it is a fighting-type Aerodactyl. Pikarom.
Yeah.
But it's like, you run that one or you run the baby. I don't see you running both. It's like, it's going to be one of those decks that
people
will just have to optimize. Like, it's gonna take a while to optimize that deck.
There's going to be a lot of experimentation for what will do well with that. And I don't even think the ceiling is very high.
And by the time it's done, it'll be rotated. That's the issue.
They're playable, though, so if you had to play fossils, if I'm your friend, I'm letting you play it if you play this.
There you go, guys. I will also give it an effective, almost super effective, just because it is fossil.
You just want it to be good. I want it to win. I'm giving you this. Friends, we'll let friends play fossils with this, okay? Don't push your luck.
As far as I'm gonna have Sublime go.
Do we have Auroras in rotation? Can I play Auroras?
Well, let's expand. It'll be interesting.
Shamu, what's your next card?
Let me see. What do I have left here? I want to talk about something interesting, because we got rid of these cards a while back in Steam Siege was the last that we had them in, I think.
I think so.
We have Magnezone.
Yes. Okay.
So, its gimmick is double type. It's a lightning and a metal type Pokemon. For one lightning and two colorless, does Magnet Bolt for 120, search your discard for a trainer card, show it to your opponent, add it in your hand. It's weak to fighting, resistant to metal, three retreat. I don't think this is a very good card. I will state that now.
It's not.
But it's just the fact that we have, I wanted to mention it, because we've got double type coming back. Because there's other cards due later. I think there's a Gallade that comes out with fighting and psychic.
Yeah. But, and we had not too long ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The dual cards, that the cards themselves were two types.
Exactly. I think that's what he was referring to.
That's kind of, that's Steam Siege, with the last one we got the dual types in. Yeah,
because Volcanion was, like, the fire card remember to play, Gallade, and it was a fire water.
We didn't get a Gallade card, but there is one coming out. Okay. Later on, I think it's in our next set. I think it's got it's in Cosmic Eclipse, I think, or currently in Japan Dream League. But I just want to mention it because with Lightning and Metal too, you get a lot of synergy with this. You get access to what's it called? What's that item card? The Full Metal
Both
Barrier.
Both Lightning and Metal have a lot of support.
So I don't think it's going to be like a top tier deck, obviously. It won't
It's just the
fact that you could do some fun shenanigans with this, with things like Thunder Prism Mountain. You can, like, you have access to
it
even the
It can bring
other...
back the electro powers that it uses.
And that's true, too. So you can be hitting for 150. You could be doing for two
that's
energy,
still not
too.
Good.
It's not great, but
that's still not
this
good.
This could be a fun card to play around with. I just feel like there's options, and the fact that this double type is coming back, there might be more than just this in that Gallade. And we never know, there might be something that comes back that's just broken. Like,
you might want to combine this with other Magnezones.
But it won't be this.
No. Like, if it was not like a stage 2, it would be so much better.
Yeah.
But
stage 2. For sure.
It's just the fact that it's a stage 2, attack. And its attack would be only good as, like, a 1 energy or 2 energy thing or something. Like, it's very, like, It's clunky. I'm not going to deny it. It's not very effective.
You're just excited for double types, right?
That's pretty much what it is. I'm excited because, like, Lightning and Metal both have fantastic support, and I feel like...
Yes, although, unfortunately, it can only benefit from one or the other, because you're not going to run a Lightning Metal deck just to make Magnezone shine, I would think.
Yeah.
You might. I might.
It's either a mediocre Lightning type or a mediocre Metal type.
I mean, why not?
I just feel like you do some shenanigans with, like, Lucario and,
It can be bad in both types.
Yeah. Or Koryo the Fantastic card, you know? Like that card just got reincarnated lately, actually. Again, Dream League, but, like, that card's coming back soon. Yeah. And I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, there you got it. You got not very effective from Shamu, Sublime. Yeah.
Not very effective.
Not very effective from me.
But double types are fun, so.
Yeah.
They are fun. And those two types are fun. Both Lightning and Metal have a lot of support.
Yeah.
So
you can put a bad card in either deck.
I mean, yeah. You can attach Prime Pan so it takes less damage. You can attach to Electro Power so it does more damage. You can attach Metal Goggles? There's so many things you can attach.
You can
do
Full Metal Core Barrier or whatever, to reduce it by 70. Yep. Like, that was one of the things I was mainly thinking about, too. And I'm like, oh, I just slap that on it with, like, and play it in Lucario Melmetal. And just do, like, a stall deck, but with this searching for your trainer card that you're, like, attaching to or using for it. Like, it's a low-tier crap deck. It's just one of those things you can just take and play, like, casually, and it can actually, like, do something casually.
Yeah. Plus, with Sarawara has free retreat costs as well.
Yeah.
It just has a lot of support, so it could potentially...
It's a bad card that you can put in either Metal or Lightning, yeah.
It can be bad in both. We got, like, a Magnezone GX, I could see this being, a bit, like, something. It's, like, a tech card for that. Even then, you'd probably run the other baby ones that we have. But then again, those do rotate next year. By the time we probably won't get a Magnezone.
So not very effective all around.
We have Magnezones that not very effective, but potentially a lot.
But
of
cute,
fun.
Yeah.
It's a cute card.
So we're gonna go ahead and take a small break, and once you hear from our sponsors, we'll be back to finish off Unified Minds set review. We'll be right back.
Hey, Puckalonians, it's Sublime Manic.
Can't get enough of your favorite flip-flopping podcast? Then check out our social media. You can find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube all from our website, PokoPodcast.com. And you can join our Discord to hang out with your favorite hosts and other Pokolonians. Also, check us out at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, consider subscribing to our Twitch channel. You can also check us out at YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. And we also have a Patreon if you're able to give anything at patreon.com/pucklepodcast.
And we are back to the Unified Minds set review with none other than Sublime and Shamu, not Sigma and Zavilo. That's a joke for Sublime.
It's because you love S names. You love S names.
Yes. Well, Poco loves S names. They just love them. We have a few more cards to go before we finish the set review, so let's go ahead and just jump back into that. And I'm going to start with a little baby dragon that I never talked before. It's one of my least favorite legendaries, honestly. Full-on confession. I really like what this time it brought in, so I want to talk about that, and that is Latios GX. Now, this Latios is not a dragon, it's a psychic instead with 170 HP. It has an ability and two attacks. Its first ability is Power Bind. If you have four or less Pokemon in play, this Pokemon can attack. Now, straight off the bat, this is a against the card. However, let's continue on. Its first attack, Tag Purge, when one psychic and two colorless, does 120 damage. During your opponent next turn, this Pokemon can't be damaged by attacks from tag team Pokemon, providing you a good shield. And then its GX attack, Clear Vision GX, until the end of the turn. Your opponent can't use GX attacks, and this is the reason why I chose this card. Its weakness to psychic, which your Jirachi GX could actually help, and it's
not really. It's 170 HP.
Well, true, but it could still save it.
It'll tank Nagata the full power attack.
Exactly. Yeah, with Jirachi
GX. Yeah,
with a zero retreat cost. So I really wanted to. I think this is a card that is going to bring a lot of opinions. So I want to jump into that.
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Shimu. What do you think about Latios GX?
When I saw Clear Vision, I really liked this card. And then I read Chandler, which is also in this set.
Chandler cancels the Tag Purge.
Yep. It cancels Tag Purge and Clear Vision. Because it removes all effects on... It removes all effects on
you. No, I don't think it cancels Clear Vision.
It should, because how it works, how it's detected.
Okay, could you read Chandler? What's Chandler? I will. I thought it was just your Pokemon.
Remove all effects of attacks on you and your Pokemon.
Yep, that removes Clear Vision.
So, essentially, if this sees play, Chandler will see play as like a one or a two of, probably just a one of, and this card is just useless, unfortunately.
I don't think it's useless, though, actually, because I thought the same thing about Chandler, and here's...
I'm over-exaggerating, but like it's kind of one of the things, like, it cancels all these things that it does.
You would never build a deck around this, I don't think.
No.
It's not enough. Yeah. However, you can put a one of in your psychic decks, right? Like, or whatever Malamar variant you're running, you could throw Latios GX in it. And there will be times where it's good to have.
That's fair.
And because it's not going to be, like, really prominent, I don't think they're going to tech your tech.
Yeah.
So I don't expect Chandler to be that prominent for it, even though it completely hard counters this card.
Yeah. No, there's a card that completely channels it. That is for sure. But we've had cards that completely targets a card, and it really, and of course, this is not to say that it's the same case in this case, but for example, with Lauren, was it Lauren? I forgot her name.
Karen?
Was announced. Karen, there you go. It was, people thought it was going to be the death of Night March. And
it kind of was.
It kind of wasn't. No, Night March continued to be tournaments after that game. And it continued to, and it's continued relevant regardless of the fact that Karen exists. And Karen exists specifically to counter Night March. So, just because there's one card that counters a whole deck doesn't mean that that's the point. Now, I'm not also saying that Latios is Night March material. Far from it. No. But it's GX attack. I see potentials in those stalling decks that would love to get rid of GX attacks that could really damage them. I'm thinking Sheninja, Sheninja decks. I'm talking about the... just other decks that could eliminate the option of GX for the opponent. For example, those that use I forgot the metal Ultra Beast. The one that is the GX attack is for one.
Celesteela?
Celesteela that you acquired just one price. Just use
the Cortana. GX attack.
Cortana, there we go.
Oh, right. Like
this will completely remove that as an option for those players that use Cortana for that option. So it is something that I could say could see some use.
I think it will see play, actually, just because it's easy to splash in a psychic deck, right? Like, and Malamar is still such a good engine, so. Plus, zero retreat cost helps those as well. It's not, like, listen, there have already been plenty of Pokemon that had an ability, but, that just made them immune to GXs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is much more specific. You have to attack to be immune only to tag team GXs.
Yep.
And I don't think those cards were very good to begin with.
No.
When they were just straight up immune to GXs. So I don't think anything this does is really spectacular. Collectively, I think it's enough that you can throw one in a deck and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
What I also like it is it actually does great pairing with Alolan Muk or anything that shuts down abilities because you want to shut down that ability.
It is rotating, yeah.
Alolan Muk is rotating?
Yeah, that's like Guardian Rising Sun. No, Sun and Moon, actually, yeah. It's gone.
Yeah, there we go. Definitely but anything else that would, like Silent Lap or anything like that.
Yeah, that works for that, though, actually. It's not bad.
It would eliminate the power
bind. I don't even think the power bind is that big of an issue, to be honest.
Neither, honestly.
It's there. It's a hindrance that exists, but you can negate stuff like Silent Lap. There's ways to get rid of it.
You're probably going to have four Pokemon in play most of the time.
Yeah, because you're probably playing this in a Psychic deck anyway. You're probably not playing
it. Right, and
then
you have those Malamars on the bench. You're going to have, like, two main attacker.
No,
so you're going to have something else on there in addition to the Malamars. So I don't think plus, it counts towards the four, so you only need three other things.
There you go. So
No, you have to have five. That's the thing. You have to have four or less. So
I'm gonna give
Or less. I didn't realize that. Never mind.
Or less, yes, it's less, yeah.
I thought it was four or more.
I'm going to go ahead and give it an effective. I know it's verging to the not very effective, but I think it's a very interesting tech card that might see some play in ways that we didn't expect it to. So what about you, Shimu?
Like, I want to say effective, but I'm, like, on that teetering point. Because, like, it is a good tech. I will give it that. It is a great tech. It's just the fact that even though we do have ways to shut down the ability, that's one hindrance there. You're not going to really be, like, you can use Tag Purge if you need to, but that's not the reason you're playing it. You're playing it for clear vision, and it's the fact that, like, it's, in a way it is, but, like, it's just Channeler exists, and that just makes me not, like, there's just too many negatives to this for it to be that, like, super, like, it does get rid of a GX tech, cool, but, like, that hurts Pika.
That's not that impressive. You don't even do anything with your GX attack, right? Like,
no, that's your GX. Can't do it. Because you think, like, you're just making this a GX-less attack, like, game, and then if they Channeler, it's like, oh, I just wasted my one of attack. Mm. Oh, it's just, it could see play. I gotta say not very effective. I want to say effective, it's just that there's too many things at this moment in time that are against it.
Yeah. Totally understandable. What about you, Sublime?
I think it's effective.
Okay.
That's all. Like, it's not
just
great,
nice
it's
little
not
effective,
terrible.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's same thing with me.
I think it's going to see play, like, as a one-of in some Psychic deck.
Yeah.
And as someone asked me, for example, that I like to play non-GX attacks decks. Yes, I know it's surprising since I love Pika Chrom so much, but to be fair, Pika Chrom is the only tag team that I really enjoy playing.
Hurts Pika Ram a lot too. Like, this is really strong against Pika.
It is,
and when you're playing non GX decks, there is always a struggle of, well, there is the GX issue that we have to deal with, and many times either we put a GX attack that is low cost and does something helpful for us, but I think the ability, if you're playing a non GX deck, the ability to eliminate the GX viable option for your opponent in a deck designed to not use GX attacks, such as, for example, Spirit Tomb or other cards such as that. I love Bad Spirit decks. Tomb. It's my favorite deck right now. Oh, what are you talking about? Spirit Tomb is amazing.
It is a good deck, but it
kind of gets killed by the set, too, because of Blizzard City, which if it has 40 or less HP, Pokemon can't attack.
Can't attack at all.
So it kinda, that deck is kind of hurt a lot.
Yeah, it is, but it's as an example of other decks, because it's not just particularly Spirit Tomb. I bring Spirit Tomb just because it doesn't use GX attacks.
Yeah.
As a way of playing this, of you getting and doing, eliminating the option of a GX and just getting rid of a lot of your...
No, Channel like, hard counters it, though, Channeler. Yeah. So.
It does.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of it, you'll just throw in a Channeler.
Yeah.
That is for true. Okay, with that being said, though, let's go and move on the next one. Sublime, what's your next card?
Well, I was saving this for last, but I'm going to do it now because since you're so anti-GX, I'm going to be pro-GX and talk about Cherish Ball. Ball. Search your deck for Pokemon GX, reveal it, and put it in your hand. We're losing so many consistency cards and so many search cards. Guess what just got better or much more consistent to use as like, your deck like focus? GX cards. GX is...
Yep.
So go get yourself a set of Cherish Ball, because you need it.
There's nothing really else to say. It doesn't say basic Pokemon. It doesn't say just basic GX.
Any GX.
It's just say any GX. It's Nest Ball for GX, but better for GX, because you can search whatever GX you need.
Yep.
There's just nothing else to say. It's an amazing card.
Yeah.
Super effective.
Yeah, it's
super effective.
This is unanimous. Effective. Like, I don't see how this is not super effective. Like,
yeah, it's just no way of this not.
Oh, being... I discard the top 10 cards in my deck, and then I get to add a GX from my deck. Like, no, it's just you just add one. You don't lose anything.
Oh yeah, grab it. Yep, whatever you need. It doesn't matter. It's gonna be in your hand.
Say, like GXs are like, we need to think about ways to make our decks really fast and consistent since we're losing so much search.
Yeah,
this is one of the few search ones.
Yeah.
So yep, guys. Summary, get yourself 4 Cherish Ball. You're going to use
that. And I don't think it's on any of our lists, but while you're getting yourself a set of that, get 4 hard stamps, too.
Reset stamps?
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
That's the one, reset stamp.
Yeah, no.
Could you remind, would you
get
tell
a set of that. Okay, so, yeah, sure. I would have picked it, but I only had 5 slots. Basically, it's N as an item that only affects your opponent. It's incredible disruption, right? So if they have 2 prizes left, you play it. It's an item, mind you. And then they shuffle and draw 2.
Yeah.
It's
going to change the way decks are built. It's going to change the way decks are built.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Shamu, what's your next one?
To go with your Latios, I picked
I love this.
The baby Latias.
Yes.
Which is a dragon with 120 HP.
Which I was just about to choose that
we
one.
We all chose a dragon.
Latios GX.
Huh.
But I went with Latios GX. I'm so glad that you went with Latios.
I love this thing so much, but it's got this really crappy attack for 2 fire, 1 colorless called Speedwing. This does 100 damage. No one cares about that. It's weak to fairy, no resistance, 1 retreat cost, which is it's nice because the really only important thing requires 1 psychic energy called Energy Arrow. It does 20 times. It's 20 times. It does 20 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon for each energy attached to that Pokemon, and it's not affected by weakness or resistance. So, like, this won't hit for a lot in most cases, but it's more or less saying, like, I think what we see, like, 4 energy on stuff kind of right now, and possibly for 6, or 6 if you're playing, like, Pikaram without, like, whatever it's called, Thunder State or Thunder Mountain. So you're hitting for, like, what, 120, 80 kind of, which. It's not a lot, but for 1 energy and a 1 prize attacker, that could change stuff. And even with Giratina Garchomp, you just slap this down, you put a rainbow energy on it, or even the psychic energy, because you're playing psychic and fighting in that deck. So you can just slap this down, snipe for like a couple here, a couple there, and then Calamity Edge is online.
And it's only 1 prize.
Yep.
With 120 on a baser.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah, it's a sniper. It's a very,
it's a very
surprisingly
solid
powerful
it is.
Sniper.
It is.
Yep.
Because if they're trying to build something up on their bench, you'll be like,
Nope.
Yep.
It's gonna punish.
You can just set this up stage 1 for psychic energy, and there you go. You're already hitting those baby Pokemon. Those basic Pokemon with just 1 or 2 energies are already sweating.
It hurts Nogaquag because you can snipe the the Quagsire. They're putting it onto it, but what's it called? A Wailord Magikarp on the bench. You can just snipe that for a chunk.
Funny. That's
like they've got 5 energy. Oh, guess what? You just did 100 to them. Like
that's kind
of funny. For 1 prize, you can come and kill it. It's fine. It's just 1 prize. Baby.
Yeah, it's 1 prize.
I'm coming after the other 3. You
softened up for
something behind that Wailord.
Yeah, you softened up for something else to kill. Like we'll say, okay. So let's say It's got 6 energy on it. You hit it for... Well, we'll say it's even
if they have 6 energy on it, you're probably pretty deep into the game.
Yeah, I get it. At which
point, you might have something that would just hit much harder.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly why it's so beautiful, though, because you can play it at any time for one psychic energy, and it's ready to go.
And it's good to go.
Your opponent won't see it coming, yeah.
But, I don't know.
It's good, but it does have its downsides to a degree. It's just still a solid card, because, like...
It is. Yeah. It is.
Because at least in Giratina Garchomp's case, like, for example, we'll just say they have 6. You do 120. They're both inactive. So you do 120. You die. Giratina Garchomp comes in. You hit with Calamity Edge. That knocks out. Even if they use a Great Potion, which is it's a 50 heal for GXs only, you still kill it. Because it's like, I think it's only off by, like, you kill it with, like, 10 extra damage or, like, 20. I'm not doing the math. I'm too lazy right now. But,
no worries.
But, like, it's just the fact that it softens up a lot of things. It's not, like, overall spread, but it allows you to hit big, bulky things for a bit more damage.
And this is not a revenge killer or anything. This is
if they don't have any energy, too, though. I wish it was 20 plus instead of 20.
Yeah, that would be awesome if it was 20 plus, but, that at least it's like it's a powerful attack. You can only go so far. You're giving it energy drive really for one energy.
Exactly. Yeah, I understand Shimu completely. Like underestimating the fact that you have a basic Pokemon with 120 HP that does 20 times the amount of energy your opponent Pokemon, any Pokemon, including bench Pokemon, can do. And on top of that, it's just one psychic with one retreat cost. So, for example, we just discussed the U-turn board. It already gives refuge to cross to this. It has so many things going for it that we're not saying that this is going to be the main attacker. This means this is going to be an excellent, I call these pressure Pokemon. Pokemon that are designed to put pressure on your opponent. Like he thinks he's in a safe space where he's setting up his Pokemon because he has this really powerful Pokemon in the active and he's setting up his even more powerful Pokemon in your bench and then suddenly you play something with Latias. Like Latias, then you're suddenly hitting those Pokemon on your bench, and your opponent is in the pressure of having to do whatever he was planning. He has to accelerate those plans, because now his safe Pokemon are not any more safe. So, it is worth noting, however, that Mew is still a thing, though.
Yeah.
The Mew that protects your bench, so that's important to also note. However, I still see Latias for what it is, and it's a strong attacker. So Shamu, what do you give it?
I'm gonna say super effective. I just think that deck's too good.
I'm gonna go ahead with you and I see it. Yeah, super effective for me as well.
Y'all overhyping it. I think it's effective.
That's fair. It's fair. I am overhyping it. Yeah. I won't deny that. Yeah. It's just I still think it's really good though.
Overhyping, and you're overhyping work because you got me all right up with Latias. I love it. So there you go, guys. It's Latias. From Unified Minds, getting 2 super effective and 1 effective from Sublime. Now, move on. Let's go back to me. And this is the last
card for each one. This is the best part of the set.
Yeah, we left the best for last. So let's go ahead and just tackle right in. I just discussed how Latios is one of my least favorite legendary Pokemon. So we're going to go on to what is possibly my 2 favorite Pokemon of all time, and yes, it might sound like I'm a Gen 1-er, but it really is not. It's just that Mewtwo and Mew have always spoken to me as legendary. I love them. And
I love cat fetuses, yeah.
Yep, Mewtwo and Mew GX is the card that I'm talking about. Tag team with my two favorite legendaries of all time. They're psychic with 270 HP, which is fantastic, honestly. And it has an ability, an attack, and a GX attack, actually. So let's go ahead and do that. The ability, Perfection. This Pokemon can use the attacks of any GX and Pokemon EX on your bench or in your discard pile.
Which is pretty ridiculous. You still need the necessary energies to actually use the attacks, of course. But that in and of itself is amazing. Its GX attack is called Miracle Twin for GX for 200 damage for 2 psychics and 1 colorless. Plus, if this Pokemon has at least 1 extra energy, just 1 Measly, not 7, not 10, just 1, in addition to this Pokemon attacks,
heal all damage from each of your Pokemon and deal the 200 damage. Weakness to psychic. I like to remind you guys of Jirachi GX.
I don't know why, but yeah.
And retreat cost of 2 with resistance to none. I love Mewtwo and Mew GX, and I want to know what you guys think about that. Let's start with you, Sublime. What do
you think? It's the strongest card in the set.
Yeah. It is just so powerful.
I think this is the tag team of the set, really. Like, the first, like, what was it? A tag team originally had Pikachu be the star, then there was Reshazard. This is the next fat. Like, this is the star of the set.
And we just discussed how we're losing a little Muk. We still have Silent Lab, but obviously it's much easier to get rid of stadiums than it is to get rid of Pokemon on your bench, on your opponent's bench. There is pros and cons to the rotation coming out, but I still believe that post-rotation is even going to make this card even more powerful.
Oh no, this is an extremely powerful card because you can build a deck around it and it'll be good, but also what I really love about it is you can put this as a one of or a two of
any deck.
And it, like, you're like, oh, I'm really weak to water. Not anymore. Just use your Mewtwo and Mew GX tag team.
Put those maybe on your discard pile when they're not costing your opponents any prizes.
Which is why I don't think Jirachi's even relevant at all to it, because you're using this in my, like, the best way to use this in my mind is as coverage against your weakness from something else.
Yeah, 100%. Because
it goes splashable into any deck as, oh, now you have a psychic type to attack with that will use the same attacks as what you would normally use if it's not safe to use that.
Yep.
But you can also totally build decks around this too. I love it. It's an extremely powerful card.
What about you, Shemu? You've been silent.
I know it's good. It's like, it's got powerful ability, powerful attack. I'm just like, I get why, but at the same time, it's just like, I have no excitement for this card at all. Like, okay. I'm like I have no pulse with this. There's nothing. Like,
is it the you card can be really, like, strong without you being excited for it. That makes that's fine.
Like, it's a good thing you put in any deck. That's how I see it as. Though people are building decks around it, which...
I love, so it can go...
I love it, but it seems janky. Real janky with the build lists I've seen that are, like, actually working. And I'm just like, I don't get, like... You're running, like, you have energy spinner, so things are consistent energy-wise, but it's just, like, they're running, like, 6 different energies, because they have, like, 7 different types of GXs in their deck.
So you know how, like, we talked about how Fossil Lab is gonna take, like, a ton of experimentation?
Yeah.
That's this, except it's tier 1.
Yeah.
It's gonna depend on the meta, and it'll probably, like, a deck focused on this card will probably change every, like, major regional or whatever, or tournament. Like, it's gonna probably, like, they see this, like, this is what they're running, let me make mine counter this now. And it's just what's gonna be, kind of. There'll probably be a couple staple cards, Pokemon-wise.
What's so great about it, too, is not only is it great for, like, any deck you're already running, because you can just add it for, like, type coverage and...
Like, I get that, I get that.
But then, it's one of those cards that, like, the sky's the limit in terms of creativity.
Yeah.
We're always going to be seeing new things paired with it that are just going to go, like, whoa, mind blown.
Yeah.
Take that, Blacephalon.
No, I guess the only other thing, too, you got to think, too, you can use those Pokemon's GX attacks, too.
Yep, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something to keep in mind.
It's any attack. I don't
especially care for Miracle Twin if you're putting this in another type of deck, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're not, you might not want to run Psychic Energy. You don't even have to, because you can use your other GX attacks.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're playing Pikachu, and you're playing against a fighting type deck? Oh, no worries. Just put your Pikachu in your discard pile and put Mewtwo Mew. And there you go.
Use
all of Pikachu's attacks, including its GX attack, with perfection, and don't have to even worry about the weakness to fighting. In fact, you're probably even doing weakness to them because you're psychic.
Yeah, so, this is the strongest Pokemon in the set, I think.
Yeah, I agree too. Super effective for me. I assume you guys, what are you going to give it?
Of course, super effective.
Super effective. It is a good card. Like, you should try to pick up 2 of them at the very least.
Yeah, yes, I think 2 is a good amount. Unless you build it around it.
Yeah. I think 2 is a good amount for any attack team GX.
I think 3, if you're building a deck around it, is an option in case 1 is prized. You definitely shouldn't need more than 3.
No, you should not. Even with prize,
you still have Gideon, for example.
No, we won't. I don't believe it. I think that's rotating.
Oh, no, post rotation. I have to read up on rotations again.
I could be wrong on that one, but I believe that one is. That's like going. Burning Shadows or something like that, or Guardians of Rising.
There you go. But that's a bit. That's Mewtwo and Mew GX. Legendary duo together at last, fighting
best Pokemon card in the set.
For the first time, working together, and it just shows you how much power there is in those two Pokemon. Now, Sublime, what's your last Pokemon?
So my last pick, I'm not like super excited about, but it's Naganadel GX, the other Naganadel GX. It's like the other white meat. It's Naganadel GX.
yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. It's dragon type, so not a psychic type. It's a dragon type. We all chose a lot of dragons, which is interesting because usually it's such a bad type.
And no dragon energy still.
There's still
But well, we get End Resolve later on in the next set, which is which is essentially dragon energy.
That's true.
I miss double dragon. That was one of my favorite cards. Anyway, expanded. So Naganadel GX has 210 HP. It's an Ultra Beast, of course, with the ability Ultra Conversion. Once during your turn before you attack, you may discard an Ultra Beast from your hand to draw three cards. That's actually the reason I chose this. But let's look at the other things. You have Venom Shot for one psychic and three colorless. Venom Shoot, actually. Discard two energy from this Pokemon, and it does 170 to one of your opponent's Pokemon. So, yeah. Another bench, a sniper.
Good. Yep. And then, that knocks out a full Tapu Lele.
Knocks out Jirachi GX.
It does. It knocks out Latios.
Not a fan of that card.
It knocks out a lot of things.
And we need to remind you that this is accelerated by, not you, I say, not
triple colorless,
by triple colorless energies.
Yeah, and actually, the things this snipes.
Two discard energies for this Pokemon, too.
Yeah, like, think about, like, the reason Pikaram is so good is for that amount of damage to the bench, and this does that potentially every turn, so. And then the GX attack is Injection for a Lightning. A Lightning. So you got to change the dragon color somehow, right? So they did it on the GX attack. It's only one, though. Choose one of your opponent. Choose a card from your opponent's discard pile and put it face down as a prize in front of your opponent.
Ouch. Ouch.
That's
that's fun.
That is
great. That is like, a GX even if attack. It just gave them another prize, that'd be annoying. But you get to choose something from their discard pile in case they were going to use it later.
You choose it. Yep. You show it to them, and then you put it face down for them
while you're still maintaining eye contact.
Were you
going to
use this? Were you going to use this?
No, I would. I would like to know. I assume it shuffles the prizes after that, but I don't know if it does.
Yeah,
I don't think it does.
Because then they can just get
know
it.
Where it is.
Doesn't say
shuffle, but they have to draw a prize. So you're delaying access, and also
just make sure that you use this. Don't lose eye contact.
I like every single aspect of this card. Also, retreat cost of one, weakness to fairy, so low retreat cost. The reason I like it, especially, is for the ability Ultra Conversion. I think out of all the decks post rotation, Ultra Beasts have the most search consistency and draw power. Yeah. So I'm curious to see if that'll make them better than they are currently.
And with their price manipulation, I mean,
exactly.
Their focus as well.
I mean, we just saw another Naganadel win North American Internationals, as Jasira will love to remember. so yeah, I mean, like, we all love Zoroark for the draw.
Yeah,
this is more specific because you have to discard an Ultra Beast, but then you can draw three. I think it's a really powerful draw engine for Ultra Beast box decks. Decks. So.
Like, toolbox.
Toolbox. Yeah, a Beast Box, right?
Beast Box, yeah.
Because, like, we're losing so much consistency in search. And this has, like, I think Ultra Beasts have the most post-rotation.
They do.
Intact, right? So.
They have a lot of support. They work well. I'm surprised that Ultra Beast toolbox aren't more common.
I think they might be after the rotation because they're taking a lot less hits compared to other archetypes.
Yep.
So
there you go. So let's go ahead and give it a rating. Yeah. What do you give it, Sublime?
I think it's super effective.
Super effective. What about you, Shaboom?
I agree with super effective. I just want to mention too, because like this could be used in Nagaquag because you can just use the Naganadels to get the energy, put it onto
it's
and
nice
you're pitching
if
two.
You're running Naganadel, you can throw one in.
Yeah, like, you can throw one in and just start sniping, and then, essentially, if they do have a lot of, like, tag teams, you soften those up a lot, and that way, like, Nagando or Quagsire can kill the others. So, it's a very solid option. I think
sniping for 170 is strong. For me as well. Yeah.
The HP is nice. 210 on a stage 1 is pretty bulky.
Yeah.
Its attack is consistent, even though it might not appear it, with a triple energy acceleration, it's pretty consistent.
Plus, Ultra Beasts, like, get energy acceleration when you least expect it, too, with them Beast Rings.
Yep. And then, the virtue cost is also pretty low, something that one skateboard and return board can just completely automatically
and it
turn
gives
it
you
into
card draw.
A0.
And it gives you card draw when you want it, so...
Yep. So, it is definitely a great, great card. Not gonna Nagando GX. Super effective across the board. Get yourself two or three of them.
I think two's
enough.
If you
plan to play this baby, yep.
Yeah, unless you make a deck specifically around it, I think two's probably fine.
For a Beast Box, especially, you're running a lot of things. Two should be fine.
Yeah. And its weakness to Fairy is always nice, because Fairy, unless you're fighting against Whimsicott GX or Gardevoir GX, which are two decks that are climbing in popularity, but not still there.
We'll see how. Let's see what happens post rotation. I'm interested.
Because Gardevoir will be gone post rotation, so we'll just have.
But Gardevoir Sylveon will still.
Oh, Gardevoir Sylveon. Yeah, that's the thing. I thought you just said Gardevoir. Yeah. That's why I just got.
He did.
Yeah. I mentioned both of them, Whimsicott and Gardevoir.
Gardevoir Sylveon tag team, I think, is what we were talking about.
Exactly. So with that, let's go ahead and move on to our last card, and we give that a huge honor to our boy Shamu. What is the last card of the set?
So we're going to go to the Shadow Realm and talk about Dark.
Yes!
So the card specifically chosen was Weavile, but we're just going to cover all the fun Dark stuff we got, because
this set
makes Dark viable.
This
was already okay. But now you've got Dark City.
It was
City.
Approaching playability, and now it's there, I think.
You've got Dark City of Stadium. Gives you free retreat on all your Dark basics. Fantastic. So you've got the Tyranitar, T-Tar Sableye, no retreat. Dark Riot, Umbreon, no retreat. Granzoro, no retreat.
Zoro, yep.
You're playing Guzzlord for some reason, no retreat. You just get free retreat on all darks, and I believe it is your opponent's as well, though. But still, it's
basics. Gotta be basic, though.
You gotta be basic, though. It's both opponent, no retreat cost, so it's fantastic. We do get Umbreon Darkrai, which essentially it with the 150 and Snipe for 60 on a bench tag team GX or is it tag team? I think it's just a GX or an EX. I need to look it up real quick.
I think it's GX or EX. You're right.
But
the fact that it's 60 is a lot nicer than 30, I will say, so.
Yeah, it's for a 2 dark, 1 colorless of Black Lance for 150, does 60 damage to one of your opponent's benched Pokemon GX or Pokemon EX, don't apply weakness. GX attack is Dead Moon GX for 1 colorless plus. Mm-hmm. Your opponent cannot play any trainer cards from your hand during the next turn. If this Pokemon has at least 5 extra darkness energy attached to it, in addition, it is now not their opponent's active Pokemon
is
now
knocked
out.
Isn't it? Yep.
Yes, it's just like knocked out. But you essentially need six energy.
Which is not hard in the dark box we're getting.
It's not hard. But why just knock it out when you can smack it for 210 with Greed Crash from Mega Sableye and T-Tar.
That I'm so excited for.
Also, before,
yeah,
I forgot.
You take an extra prize.
Yeah. I forgot to say, Darkrai Umbreon has 270 HP, weak to psychic. Wait, what?
Weak to fighting?
Weakness to psychic.
No, it's weakness
psychic.
Fighting. The Pokebeach is wrong.
Oh, it is weakness fighting.
It's weakness fighting resistance to psychic.
Yeah. Pokebeach made a mistake there. Yeah.
Oh, but you know what else would go really great in this dark tech we're talking about?
Jirachi GX?
The Mewtwo.
That would be good for fighting.
Weak to fighting, did you?
Yeah, look at that.
Okay.
Mega Sableye Tyranitar, it's got 280. For 4 darkness, 1 colorless, you do Greed Crash, does 210, and if they're active with a GX or EX and is knocked out by damage from this attack, you take an extra prize. So you can get 4 prize cards from a tag team.
It's insane. It's insane.
And then for its GX attack, it's the same cost, But if you have 5 additional energy attached to this Pokemon.
That's 10 energy. Let's just keep that in mind.
It does 250 damage, but you need 10 energy. Discard 15 cards from the top of your opponent's deck. And that same weakness and resistance as Darkrai Umbreon with a retreat of 4. So, like, those are the new 2 actual attackers we got.
But, like, they synergize so well with some of the ones we've been getting, right? Yeah, like, Incineroar and then Incineroar is amazing energy acceleration.
Yeah, like, you just boom, beam up.
Weavile lets you move all the energy around the stadium.
Oh, we haven't talked about Weavile yet. Retreat. Weavile is what makes this deck work.
Oh, let's talk about Weavile then. Let's talk about Weavile. Yeah.
Because, it's 200 HP. For 2 darkness and a colorless, does Claw Slash, does 130,
whatever.
It is
a GX, by the way.
It is a GX, yeah.
I didn't mention that.
So, guess what? For 2 dark, 1 colorless, you Claw Slash, 130. No one cares about that. For 1 colorless...
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. For
irrelevant.
1 colorless, you do Knight Order GX. Search your deck for any number of basic Pokemon, put them on your bench, then shuffle your deck.
That's,
so
I didn't even know about that GX.
So,
attack.
That's...
So,
essentially...
Stopped there.
You do use your GX, but you just build your bench.
You set up your bench, exactly.
We're playing build a bench here with this Weavile.
You can just build a bench. Yeah. With all weak these big dark types.
Oh, yeah. Weak to fighting, resistant to psychic, same old, same old. 1 retreat cost. But the reason you run this card
for
its ability, Shadow Connection. So it's not like other Pokemon where it's like only once or whatever. And as often as you like during your turn, before your attack, you may move a basic dark energy from one of your Pokemon in play to another one of your Pokemon in play. So, it's not like Quagsire from bench to active. This is from anywhere. So you can pick all your active energy to your bench. All your benched to another benched. Or benched to active.
Or all to an active, yeah.
You can move them around anywhere.
It reminds me a lot, dark currently reminds me a lot of where Fairy was when it was first introduced. Where you had a lot of energy moving around and free retreat.
And then, well, thinking about the dark toolbox, though, is they're all GXs. So you've got
Cherish
Ball.
There's a lot of options.
You have Cherish Ball,
so you... options to run, too.
Yeah. You can search for all
you
your key components.
So many darks to choose from.
Other than Sneasel, essentially, with the Cherish Ball. So you've got, like... And with the Incineroar, too, and again, it's just... You just... Take 30.
I love Incineroar in the dark deck with Nanu, just because it gives you a lot of energy acceleration.
Oh, yeah.
And once you have that energy on the board, you're shuffling it around however you want.
Oh, yeah. And then
that lets you kill things with the Greninja Zoroark, just like based on the amount of energy you have total. That could be killing, that could be powering up your Tyranitar Sableye.
And worst case, if you're powering up
that. So
that
you're like. Taking out extra prizes.
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's
and for
a
example,
lot of good options in this deck. I think it's going to be a good deck. I'm very curious to see what the final deck lists are going to look like, though, because there are so many options.
There are so many variants. Because, like, I am a preferrer of just Grenzoro, but I know, like, Umbreon Darkrai is being seen just because of the sniping. But it's just, like, it is for 3 energy, you're doing 150, which is more than what Grenzoro would do. It's just, I am just a big fan of that, like, acceleration, and it's like, it's a 2 energy attack, and if I have built up, I could just beam that out, move 2, and I attack again.
But since they're all basics, I'd be curious to see if maybe there's just gonna be a dark box, right, that just runs some of each.
Yeah.
I'll be very interested to see what makes the cut, and in what numbers, but yeah, dark is where it's at.
Because, also, Does Black
For us,
Market,
we're excited about dark.
Quick question. Does Black Market trigger on when you get attacked, or is it when your Pokemon faints with a dark, it's when attacked? Okay. Because I was wondering about nanoing, like, the Incineroar away with a dark energy on it into something that's lower HP, but if that's how it works, then Black Market wouldn't trigger, and you'd take, you lose the pro. But still, we're a thing. Like, you've got a Pokemon with, like, they've got 10 HP left, you just nano into, like, a basic that you take, they just take a prize instead of 3 or 2.
Right, but still, like, with all of the options Dark has right now, I think it's in a really good spot, and it hasn't been in a very long time, I feel like.
No, what was the last Dark deck? I think it was Darkrai with Dark Pulse. It was essentially the same kind of deck, it was just based around, and we had Dark Patch.
Different
so
era,
to,
different
like,
era. Different when era. Dark Patch was in, you're right.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't even consider that, like, top tier. It's, like, good.
No, it was not top tier, but it saw some play because...
It's, like, second tier. It was,
because
like,
you had,
there,
You had the no retreat cost too for dark types on a Darkrai. and you had Night Spear, which was a it was 90, but you sniped for 30. So it's like you had, and it was just like, you kind of had the things we have now, but they were on just Darkrai.
Yeah.
And Darkrai's Dark Pulse.
I think there was a Darkrai that did, yeah, wasn't there a Darkrai that did damage based on the amount of total dark on your side?
Yeah, that's a Dark Pulse one. It's like Granzora, but it's just two colorless, so it's weaker, really...
But it also did 20 instead of 30 for each dark.
It did, yeah.
So.
But then again, you weren't dealing with tag teams. The worst thing you had was like a Wailord with like 200, like, or 250.
You could get 200, you were good.
So.
So yeah, Dark is where it's at.
Guys.
Let's just say Dark Toolbox is super effective collectively.
I'm gonna say
too
the
many
same.
Cards
agreed.
What's higher?
Can we just like? Can we say it's quad effective?
I sometimes say that. I think it's just super effective. No, I want to see how good it turns out to be, though. I'm very excited.
I've just been so excited for Dark once the Cinemore came out.
Me too.
That's like once that card came out, I just knew like this is going places. Like, just to take
for me,
three.
It was the Greninja Zoro art.
Yeah, like. Yeah. And then that came out, like... and then it was even better.
So, and that's the end of our set review for Unified Minds. My question to you is, now that we've reviewed our individual top favorites, let's give our overall critique of the set and give it a 1 to 10 Pokeballs. How good do you think it is? Shamu, let's start with you. Well, what is your average rating for Unified Minds?
I don't think it's a 10. I'm gonna say an 8. If I could say an 8.5, I would. Cause like it's good. It's got good stuff in it. I think we'll see some. I don't know if we have everything revealed from Cosmic Eclipse yet. Cause I think Cosmic Eclipse has a couple draw cards too that are just like powerful, like really strong stuff. Mm. That might kind of replace stuff. Just like Roxy, off the top of my head, is one that's like just solid.
But, nice. What about you, Sublime?
I would also give it an 8. It's not the best set, but it's a good set. Although, I'm thinking about maybe should we take a star off just because it's too darn big?
Well, I think that's part of my rating of 8. It's also the fact that it's so big.
Yeah, I think 8 is fair.
If it were a little bit more
shallow,
big
sets are more likely to have lots of good cards, and there are a lot of good cards.
Yeah.
But is that just because it's too big? That there's that number of good cards. I think 8 is fair. 8 is fair.
Yeah. There we go. So we got an 8.5 from Shamu and 8 from me and Sublime on Unified Minds. I hope you guys enjoyed our critique of this and what you guys think. I know that Worlds is right around the corner. So we're super excited for that. So stay tuned for our a September show, which will be our post-Worlds discussion. And that should be a lot of fun. So until then, guys, if you like what you listen, remember we're not the only show Paco has. Paco, please go ahead and follow Thatch on his main flagship show every Monday of every week. You will also find Game Corner, Battlecast, and other shows at Paco Plus, such as this one. If you guys also enjoy the community, which is honestly the protagonist of the Paco universe, is the community, please go ahead and join us on our Facebook groups, our Twitter accounts, our Twitch TV, shameless plug. I'm there, at least I try every Monday, but I am every week for sure. And last but certainly not least, if you have the ability to do so, please donate to Poco, become a Patreon. Every single dollar comes back to the community. Nothing is, we only use that money to improve the shows or improve the ability of doing events with the community. So become one and you'll be doing a lot. Not to mention that Thatch is being extra super awesome with all the extra content that it's giving to our Patreon members. So excellent with that. And with that being said, you can already hear the guitar in the background. Thank you so much for being here today. Shamu, thank you so much for being on the show today.
No problem. Thank you.
And Sublime, love you as always, bro.
So glad to be your future neighbor.
Yes, you're just going to be a 20-hour train away. And with that, guys, it's closing time. See you.
Closing time. Farewell, my friends. I'll catch.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.